Thanks, Mike. It's been great to be friends of Mike and Deb for many years. I knew Mike back when I had hair. So it's been great. Really appreciate Mike and Deb coming to Australia, to our church, and just been so good for us. It's so good to have these relationships. They're really, really important, and just lifeblood for us in Australia. If we can turn in our Bibles, please, to Ezekiel 37. I just want to speak about giving prophecy the VIP treatment. Not sure what time we go till tonight. People have had a long day at the office. It's all good. Till 9? Yeah, that's cool. Siri. How you going, Siri? Siri can prophesy. Ezekiel 37, you all probably know it, the Valley of the Dry Bones. Sorry, my voice is slightly raspy from travel. Got a little bit of a Rod Stewart, Joe Cocker thing going. It's all good. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. First thing I want to say is that prophetic people go back and forth amongst the bones. There's this thing about prophetic people that they have to be in a closet or a cupboard prophesying. They don't engage with anyone. That's not right. See, Ezekiel was led back and forth amongst the dry bones. He engaged with the marketplace. He engaged with society. And I think we got to be the life of the party at the barbecue, you know. God's not looking for, you know, weirdos to prophesy. He's looking for real, regular guys and girls, you know. He's looking for regular people that are sane. You know, there's this mindset that you got to have, you know, it's an old man with a crooked finger, you know, prophesying doom, you know, thus saith the Lord. We need to dispel some of these mindsets, the prophecies for kind of weirdos, but we are a bit strange, we are a peculiar people, but God wants sane language, everyday language. He wants regular people to be passionate about the prophetic and to engage with the marketplace. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. And as we read this, let's think of Nanaimo, the city. You know, prophesy to the bones, the dry bones of Nanaimo. It could be a dry suburb. It could be a dry street, dry marriage. Where it's dry, prophesy to the dry bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. God's going to bring dry situations to life through Oceanside. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I was commanded. That's interesting. God has assignments for us in prayer and prophecy. He calls us to prophesy over our city. So it's good to do that, to come to the prayer meetings. It's a privilege to just prophesy and declare and prophesy to the dry bones of our city. It's interesting that he was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. Actually, I was preaching in India in 2006 and preaching on this passage, and someone came up to me at the break and said, I know that noise of bones coming together, and seeing something like 12 people raised from the dead. He says, I know that noise when it comes together like that. I'm like, you and me, buddy, yeah. You know? And, maybe we'll see people raised from the dead. Why not? I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. We need the breath. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds of breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. See, we can see tonight young people across the city here. They might be comatosed in drugs and alcohol, but God says prophesy life to those dry bones. God has earmarked some of them for the coming move of God. You can prophesy over people that look like they're down and out. They might be literally in the gutter, but God wants to raise up a vast army from dry bones. So we can't look out. We can't look at a hopeless situation. God, through prophecy, brings hope. When we prophesy, we're bringing hope, and we're seeing people that are down and out suddenly come alive in God. And some of those young people that are out tonight, drugs and drink and comatosed, maybe out of their minds, God's earmarked them for leadership. We need to believe that. A vast army. He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone." See, prophecy brings hope. We are cut off. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and my people, I am going to open your graves." It's funny, I know Mark and Deb graves, but I felt, as I was reading this just before the meeting, God illuminated to me, "Open your graves." And I feel like you're going to prophesy. You already have a prophetic culture here, but I feel like prophetic culture is so important. It's not just about one or two prophetic moments. It's about developing a prophetic culture. And I feel like you're going to see graves open up. Open your graves. Around the city, you're going to see hopeless situations and graves, and God is going to open them up through prophecy. Open your graves and bring you up from them. And God illuminated to me, "Bring you up." Open your graves, bring you up. And then he says, "I will bring you back." You're going to see people brought up and people brought back. I feel like people brought back to the church. "To the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." And what we need is a prophetic culture. We need people that are passionate for the prophetic. People that are willing to stand there and just say, "God, what are you saying right now? What are you saying in this meeting? Have I got something? Is it just for me or is it for the meeting?" People to step out in the prophetic. Sometimes you just get an impression. You don't always feel supercharged. Like, I got to share this word or I'll collapse. Sometimes you just get this strong impression. And if you just release that through the leadership, God can take that impression and it can be a powerful thing when it's shared. I remember the first time I shared a prophecy in my church, Coastlands in Adelaide. I came out to the microphone and my knees were shaking. I was just shaking. I was just terrified. Just to get up in front of people and share a prophetic word was like a major thing for me. And I think, you know, I started, my voice was quivering and I was quaking and shaking. But God just wants us to step out. Even if we don't feel like we got that temperament, we feel like we're not that kind of guy or girl, God's saying, step out in the prophetic. Maybe in your home group. That's a good place to get going. Because sometimes we think, isn't it just my thoughts? But often God's speaking through us. We don't always discern. We think, it's just me. Well, it might be God. There's the devil speaking. There's God speaking. There's my own thoughts. We need to discern what's the devil and what's my own thoughts. But maybe there's times where God is wanting to speak through me. And just to recognize, just to step out, because you learn as you go as well. And obviously it's got to be based on scripture and things like that. But I want to challenge us tonight to step out in the prophetic. It could be in a meeting where we're prophesying over dry bones. But also, I'm thinking, let's extend our understanding of the prophetic to not just prophesying in a meeting. I don't think I'll ever get to all the points here, but recently our church, after the meeting, we went to a cafe. You guys go to cafes and things after church? And yeah, we went to a cafe and someone in the church just felt a burden for the cafe owner. I said, "Do you mind if we pray for you?" Excuse me. And we all gathered around this cafe owner. We started to pray and prophesy and had words of knowledge for this cafe owner. And they just broke down in tears. Yes, yes, yes. And just ministering to them. We did invite them to know Jesus, and they said they already had committed once before. But we just ministered to this cafe owner. And then later on Instagram, they put, angels visited me today. It meant so much to them. And we've been back a few times since. But prophecy is not just prophesying in a church meeting. You could be in a cafe. And God will give you words. I mean, even encouraging waiters and waitresses. They get so much flack, you know. Just, you don't even have to say, thus saith the Lord. You just say, I just really feel this for you. I feel like God's given me something to say to you. Is it right if I share it? Something like that. It's amazing. A lot of people just open to that. You can start to prophesy into people in schools, in the marketplace where God's put you. Prophecies for the marketplace, not just for church meetings. Tonight we're mainly talking about church meetings, but I just want us to think beyond with prophecy that you are a candidate. My dad was a school principal, and he would pray over every chair before school started, the whole school. He would pray over every chair and just prophesy over students before they even arrived. Every day he would get there at 6 a.m. and prophesy and pray. Prophetics for business. My brother was involved in a prayer team that used to go to businesses, and I've done this myself. I've been called by businesses to come in and pray over the business, pray over their mission statement, their business strategy, and just pray over the business. And going around praying over the chairs at the workstations where people work, we got to one particular workstation, and my brother felt, he said, there's somebody who works here sitting in this chair that is defrauding the company. Something is not right. I feel really bad over this chair. Something is going down here. Something bad. Someone's committing fraud. And it turned out, this accounting and law firm, no one had discovered. This guy had defrauded the company $3 or $4 million. He nearly sent the company broke. It was picked up through prophecy to look into that. I'm just trying to get us to think prophecies, not just, you know, in a meeting. It's a lifestyle of the prophetic. A prophetic culture is what we're looking for. Anyway, in Revelation 4, John hears a voice from heaven say, come up here and I will show you what must take place. And God wants us to draw aside because he wants to reveal secrets to us. He wants to reveal strategy. God is a strategic God. And he wants to reveal strategies to us. If we would just take the time to draw to him, and he wants to fill us with vision and strategy. God is saying to us, I want to show you prophetic panoramas, prophetic pictures, prophetic landscapes of mighty plans and purposes and strategy and revelation. Who is listening? Who is discerning? The key is to walk in intimacy. Are we sensitive to the voice of God? And I actually, when I'm preaching, I don't always think in points. I think in hashtags because I'm like a social media guy. So hashtag God is strategic. Hashtag prophecy can change everything. God spoke to me. One prophetic word can change everything. One prophetic word can change someone's life and a landscape forever. And every major move I've seen, and I was involved in a church, Coastlands, with Dudley Daniel, and every major move we saw was always accompanied by a strong prophetic thrust. So we need the prophets. We need the prophetic people in the church to rise up. But we also need all of us to participate in the prophetic. If you're a believer, you're a candidate for the prophetic. 1 Corinthians 14, all can prophesy. So don't write yourself off when it comes to the prophetic. Say, it's not my thing. You are a candidate for the prophetic. And I just feel we need to step out. All can prophesy. Prophecy is dynamic. Let's lift the lid on prophecy. What can we see right now? God is speaking. And I feel like we need to see the tiny specks on the horizon. We need to see the kingdom seed. We need to see the seed potential in people. We need to see the cloud the size of a man's fist on the horizon. Prophetic people need to see beyond the obvious. We can all see the obvious, but you see the potential in that person. You see the treasure in that person. Prophetic people can see beyond the natural into the supernatural. And I just want us to see with prophetic eyes. Too many of God's people can only see the obvious. And Dudley Daniel once gave a great definition of the prophetic. He says, we need to see the future, prepare for the future, and become the future. See the future, prepare for that future, and become the future. It's like Hudson Taylor when he was 15 years old. He just prostrated himself on the ground. You know Hudson Taylor, the great China missionary. Prostrated himself on the ground and said, God, I'm not getting up off the ground until you show me my destiny. He's 15 years old. God gave him a vision of China. Told him he was going to go to China. So what did Hudson Taylor do? He prepared for the future. He started eating all the Chinese food and Chinese ways. He got into the Chinese language. He prepared for his future and became the future. And I feel like God wants us, he's challenging us to see the future, prepare for the future. Each one of us has got a calling in God. Everyone here is called of God. You've got a calling. It's a holy calling. As we know, it's not just a matter of attending church. It's a matter of God's got a call for you, call on your life. And God, as Russ said, it's not about Lego bricks. God's put us into a spiritual house, not with bricks, but of stones that God shapes together to form the spiritual house. And every person here has a unique role in that house. It's not the same without you. We need your shape and your distinctiveness in the house. Everyone here has a call on your life. And as we live out that call, that we see the greater vision take place. But we need to see the future, prepare for the future. Even some of you feel like you're called to preach. Well, start preparing messages. Don't wait for someone to tap you on the back. But start preparing now. It may be a while till you get to preach or whatever, but just be faithful. If you feel you're called to a certain thing, maybe see the leaders, but just start investing in that future. Become the future. Prophecy is one of our greatest weapons. Talk about weapons of mass destruction. To smash through opposition, break through and break open hard ground, provoke faith, launch us and propel us into new things and new territories. Not something weird, bizarre and freaky. And what I want to just give something simple tonight. It was actually based on something Ian McKellar. You know Ian McKellar? Do you know him from Singapore? Leads a great church, led a great church in South Africa. And he's a prophet of note, a teacher of note. He once said, we need to give prophecy the VIP treatment. We need to give prophecy the VIP treatment. And that's what I want to speak about tonight based on Ezekiel 37. V is for vision, I is for interpretation, and P is for proclamation. V for vision, I for interpretation, P for proclamation. We need to give prophecy the VIP treatment. We need to roll out the red carpet for prophecy. Get out the red carpet, get out the Cadillac or whatever, and give prophecy the VIP treatment. And so we need all three. We need vision, interpretation, and proclamation. We need all three in the church. And so from Ezekiel 37, which we just read, I want to give some quick handles on how we give prophecy the VIP treatment, because we need a prophetic culture. You all feeling prophetic? You all know you're prophetic? You are prophetic. You are a candidate for the prophetic. And so number one is establishing a prophetic culture and understanding the local church mandate to prophesy. Verse 1. There's a cry of God here in Ezekiel to prophesy. Local churches are commissioned to prophesy. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Any Bible scholars here? You ever done a study on the hand of the Lord? Look it up in Strong's. I looked it up in Strong's. There was like 20, 30 attributes of God behind the hand of God. When God's hand is on you, it's something else. His resources, his power is all behind his hand. And the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel to prophesy. The hand of the Lord, his Lord's attributes, his resources, his power is behind you as you prophesy over the dry bones of Nanaimo. It's a powerful, powerful thing. People think, oh, what does prayer do? What does prophecy do? What do these prayer meetings really do? I tell you what, they're powerful. If we could just see into the unseen realm. These prayer meetings, these church corporate prayer meetings are powerful. And you are called to prophesy over your city. You are called to declare and proclaim and decree over your city. And it is powerful. Never let the devil lure you into thinking, oh, what does it really do? What do these prayer meetings do? And what does it matter if I go to the prayer meeting? What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. I'm not putting it heavy on anyone, but it's vital. It's vital to prophesy over your city, to prophesy over the dry bones. Churches are called to do that. They're assigned to prophesy over their cities. And so the hand of the Lord was upon me. God's hand. I prophesied as I was commanded, Ezekiel said. This is serious. Prophecy is a necessary ingredient for a base church. Sometimes we can see the prophetic as icing on the cake or an optional extra like roof racks and side airbags and a cargo carrier. But it's a necessary ingredient for a base church. We need to hear God's voice louder and stronger and clearer. We need to equip the saints to set up a platform that launches the prophetic. We need leaders that encourage the prophetic and a culture that gives people space to prophesy. We need a cross-section of the priesthood community prophesying, not just the typical few. Are we giving prophecy the VIP treatment? And so God is serious about prophecy. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy. And the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. And then when we go to 1 Corinthians 14, we see Paul talking to the Corinthian rabble about urging them to prophesy. And this was a church prone to excess, getting drunk on communion wine. Yet Paul doesn't slap handcuffs on the prophetic and says, no, no more prophetic. No, he encourages the Corinthians to eagerly desire to prophesy. I mean, this is important to God, prophecy. And Strong's describes, when it says eagerly desire to prophesy, Strong's describes desire here as displaying passion with a heat. In other words, we need a white hot passion to prophesy. Do we have a white hot passion to prophesy over the dry bones of our city and see those bones come alive? See those people come out of a comatose state into their destiny? Number two, we need to understand the value of prophecy. In Ezekiel 37, we see prophecy contributes to a national revival. We see in 1 Corinthians, we see prophecy edifies or builds up the church. You know that prophecy builds up the church, exhorts and comforts the church. We need that. We need that encouragement when given in love. 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Isaiah 40 verse 1. Prophecy can help propel a church into a whole new season. We are like prophetic pocket rockets cutting a sway through opposition. Prophecy has a sharp edge. It attacks, stimulates, provokes, cuts through darkness, addresses poor attitudes and negative mindsets, Isaiah 40, Malachi 4, 5. Prophecy confirms direction. Directional prophecy needs wise administration from the elders. We need foretelling as well as forthtelling. Prophecy works with the apostolic in building the church, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. The prophetic prepares the bride, Revelation 19. And the prophetic leads to salvation, signs and wonders, Acts 2, 19 to 21. Prophecy is potent. It's a key weapon of a base church, and we need to give prophecy the VIP treatment. And I want to say rugged men need to get on board, because often we leave the prophetic to the ladies. I don't know. That often happens in church culture. It may not happen here. But prophecy is for the tribes of Ryobi, Makita, and Bosch. We need men with a roaring masculine authority. And I have a passion to address men. We men that come alive at the barbecue, in Australia we like the slow cooked meats, barbecue meats. And we come alive, where there's a feast, animated. But we're often quiet in the kitchen of spirituality of the church. But I think we should be wild in the church as well as at the barbecue. At the sports, We're in an NBA game last week in Los Angeles, Clippers versus Lakers. I'd watched a lot of NBA on TV, but I never knew how passionate some of those supporters were. They were going off their tree. I couldn't believe it. Like, I've seen passionate supporters, but these people were, like, almost manifesting next to me. I thought, I wasn't sure what was going on, but they were very passionate for their team. But so, you know, we get involved in sports. I mean, I get in trouble because I yell out too much at sport. Because our kids play basketball. They're pretty good at basketball. They don't like me drawing too much attention to them in meetings. But I get in trouble sometimes for yelling out in the basketball. I'm one of those parents, you know what I'm saying? But we can be animated, you know, and but when it comes to the church, we can be a bit on the quiet side. But I think we need men, masculine men, to rise up. Yeah. With a roar and a shout. And prophesy with authority. You think, well, some people are more eloquent than me. It's not about that. It's about communicating God's message. God wants to use your personality. He wants to use you how you are. How he's made you. He doesn't want you to sound like some, you know, someone speaking King James English and, you know what I mean? Some weirdo. He wants you to be, he's powerful when you are who you are and God moves through you. So all the men, rise up. Get animated. Be a voice. And ladies too. All of us. And children, you know. Seeing kids prophesy, it's absolutely astonishing what God does through them. Historically, the prophetic has been a key for NCMI. I remember Dudley sharing at a city celebration how in the early days in Bryanston, South Africa, they began to prophesy, they began to see breakthrough. Historically, in our ranks, prophecy has been a key to advancement. It's one of our greatest weapons as a church. And then number three is ask God to fill us with prophetic vision. V for vision. What do you see right now? What do you see for your family? What do you see for your business? What do you see for the church? God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? Hashtag, what do you see? V is for vision. Our job is to present a preferred future for God's people. Prophecy is a lot about the ability to see. Dreaming of our cities coming alive. Facilities, nations influenced. Jeremiah 1, God says to Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? God is concerned that we have a keen prophetic perception. God, what are you saying in this meeting? God, what are you saying in the city? God says, pastor your city. God says to pastors, pastor your city, not just your church. God gives you authority in your city. Like we moved to Melbourne from Adelaide. God said, you have authority in Melbourne. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. And sometimes we underestimate the authority we have in our own city. We can be brave in the church, but when it comes to the city, God gives you authority in the city. We need to walk around like we own the city, I believe. God's given us that anointing. Walk around confident, speaking with people, engaging people. I've come into a thing where I work in a business around my city, and I work with influencers, and I know people in all the spheres of society, media, arts, politics, people at the top echelons of society, just in my work in PR. And I've got a website that's kind of taken off in my city where I celebrate the city. And God said to me, influence the influencers. Like, often in church we hear be an influencer, which is cool, but and God said to me, influence the influencers, because the influencers are the culture carriers in society. God wants us to get alongside the top politicians, the top lawyers, the top sporting people, all the spheres, education, government, yeah. He wants us to influence the influencers. So I have conversations with people that never go near a church building. But God wants the church to go to them and influence and get prophetic words for the top people in society. Why not? I know there's a Christian that had a word for the top, one of the richest people in Australia. Just had a from a church, had a prophetic word. Talked to them on the phone, gave them a prophetic word. This guy was so amazed by the word of knowledge and the word that they just kept engaging and engaging. And it's interesting how God would have, if we would just dare to believe that we could just be speaking to some of the most influential people in our nation, why not? God says we're to go before kings. And we are kings in him. We are royalty. We're a royal priesthood. And I feel like we need to go around feeling like we own the city. We have the keys of the kingdom. And to influence the influencers. Be an influencer, but also influence the influencers. And so, vision. V is for vision. What is God showing me? Looking at the time, what is God showing me? We need to pray for our leaders. Leaders need to see something of a prophetic future. Get around Mike as he casts vision. Support the vision. Get around that vision. And the key is to spend time with God. And so that I love it, the dynamic in church where we all come together on a Sunday. Mike has a message. One of the elders has a message. But we've been, it doesn't come as a complete shock to us because we've been hearing God all week. And then when we come to the meeting, it's like, yeah, God's been speaking to me about that. It's funny how if we're just engaged like that, that's the dynamic. Then it makes Mike's job easier. Because we've been, spending time with God and just picking up things. And we've got that prophetic culture where we're just hearing God all through the week. Even in dreams, God gives us dreams. God gives me dreams. God gives my wife amazing dreams. And God can speak to you in dreams as well. Just to be in tune with God. So vision. I could go on. Because I really got a passion for the prophetic, not just being for church meetings, but being for the marketplace. And one of the guys in our church, just going back to Coastlands, was walking through the car park. And God gave him a vision of a design, a business design. He feels it was God gave him this vision for a business design. And so he went away and manufactured this thing. And he just became a multimillionaire. He got the contract for all the buses and trains in the city with air conditioning. God gave him a world-class product. And I feel like God wants to give us strategies, how to break into markets through the prophetic. What do you see? My brother's one of the top businessmen in our nation. God gave him strategies how to break into markets. He outperformed his other partners in the business 3-1. And markets no one else could get into. He said, God, how do I get into this market? Bang, 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 boom. Break open the market. So God wants to give you prophetic strategies for business. So V is for vision. Are we living with a vision? We are to be a prophetic people, living a prophetic lifestyle. A whole life should be a prophecy. We don't just get a word. We are to be a word by our lifestyle. Ezekiel saw something, dry bones. Dry bones means there's been death for a long time. Verse 11, there's been a spiritual deadness. Our hope is gone and we are cut off. Sadly, some people in churches camp there. They can only see the dry bones. But Ezekiel's eyes are open to resurrection potential. And I feel this is a word for God's people. Let us see resurrection potential in our city. Let us see hope where no one else sees hope. Let us see resurrection potential over marriages. Resurrection potential over dry bones. Resurrection potential over economies. There was a group in England that started praying over one of the deadest parts of England where the economy was shot. They started worshiping in the streets. They started praying. They started prophesying, decreeing, and that whole region turned around and became a thriving economy again. And I believe it's through, I mean, God sends worshippers into drought areas. I believe God, through prophecy, can restore economies. Why not? Ezekiel saw something, dry bones coming alive, resurrection potential. Can these bones live? I believe God asked this question today. Can the dry bones of Nanaimo live? Can these bones live? And we say, yes, God. Why not? Let's be people that see the resurrection potential in things, not just the hopelessness, but the hope. We come to bring hope and life and joy. So let's allow God to bring faith and resurrection potential as we step out to prophesy. The Holy Spirit wants us to see hope in tough situations. And I believe when we come to the corporate prayer meeting, we come with faith. It should be the most exciting meeting of the week. Every local church is called to be a house of prayer for all nations. Are we praying for the nations as a lifestyle, where the majority of the church don't just attend but contribute? Maybe you get a mental picture. Maybe you get a word. Maybe you get a phrase. Maybe a concept, a scripture, a passage, a reference, a strong sense of concern, a dream. God speaks in many ways, and I feel like we need to bring these things to the table. Have you ever stepped out in a meeting with a prophetic word? Have you ever stepped out in a cafe or a restaurant with a prophetic word? As I say, you don't say, thus saith the Lord necessarily. But Sam and I were dining with a couple, and I just had a strong impression. I said, I feel like we're having dinner with this couple. I said, I feel like you're going to go to England, you're going to go to London, and you're going to take off there. You're going to start something that really takes off, and your whole business is going to expand. And the guy goes to me, yeah, actually in 6 weeks I'm moving to England. And since then he's moved there and things have taken off for him. And I feel like we can have those moments where God just gives us words for people in the marketplace, walking up to strangers in the street, praying for healing. And God just gives us compassion for people. Jesus moved compassion just to minister and pray with people. The Holy Spirit wants us to see hope in tough situations. All right. And then number four, step out and prophesy, proclaim. Oh, actually, no, sorry. Interpretation, VIP. So we've had vision, interpretation. So I just want to give a few quick handles on prophecy in corporate meetings. Interpretation is important, how we administer, how we step out, interpretation. So here's some handles, just quickly. It's a bit bullet style. But ask God, first of all, ask God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Then ask, is this for the corporate meeting or just for me? Because it could be just for you, like teenagers. God might say, you know, I feel you should tidy your room up a bit more. That may not be for the corporate meeting. I mean, it might be, but probably not. Is this just for me? Does it strengthen, exhort, or comfort? The Bible says prophecy should strengthen, exhort, or comfort. I had a young girl come up to me in Coastlands once. She said, give me the microphone, because I was leading the meeting. And that always calls for alarm when someone says, give me the microphone. I mean, you can at least say, please. Give me the microphone. I said, well, why? She said, I got a word. I said, well, what's the word? She said, this church is like Sodom and Gomorrah, and God hates the stench of your sin. And I'm thinking, does that strengthen, exhort, or comfort the church? I thought, no, I don't think it does, being a good elder. And so I said, no, sorry, we can't share that. And I sort of tried to coach her after the meeting in this thing. It's got to strengthen, exhort, or comfort. God's going to have someone come, you're all Sodom and Gomorrah, and God, I'm going to judge you. And I said, gee. That's about tearing down, but God's about building up. Prophecy builds up. Number four, is it the right timing? Sometimes it's not the right timing. God starts to speak to you to share something, but it might not be for that moment. And sometimes we want to go and share. We come to the elders, can I share this? And they're not feeling it's the right time because there's something else happening in the meeting. Sometimes we can get offended, throw our marbles on the ground. No. These elders are not listening to me. I got this word, it's burning. But it might not be the right timing is one thing. Maybe hold on to it. Maybe God gives you more about that. And so it needs to be the right timing. Is it consistent with Scripture? Obviously. It needs to be consistent with Scripture. Is it submitted to leadership? Obviously, God works through the leadership. You need to respect leadership. Our job is to let the leaders know, and they have a responsibility. If a leader says, I don't feel to share this right now, I need to trust, that's cool. Because I've done my thing in sharing it, and that's all I need to do. And it's up to the leaders to say whether they feel, don't get offended. You know, some people get offended if they can't share a word. Take it personally, but it's not personal. It's quite a responsibility leading a meeting. You're trying to weigh things up. We need to let the worship run a bit more, or things are happening. You can't always. So I just say, don't be offended. Be unoffendable when it comes to prophecy. Is it in the flow of the meeting? Is it a gap filler? Some people can't handle silence in a meeting. You know, sometimes in meetings you can get this prophetic awe or this awe of God and this silence. Some people can't handle that. They've got to have something said or something done, so they, I'll bring a word or whatever. But is it a gap filler? No. We sometimes it's good to have silence. And then when we go to prophesy, it's good to start with, I feel the Lord is saying this. It's a good way to humbly present it with boldness, but just, I feel the Lord is saying this. Be confident, not apologetic. Try to be clear and make sense. Not a drain pipe gushing forth in frenzied verbiage. Is there an application? We don't want those I see an octopus on the dartboard type prophecies. What do you mean? You know, Justin Bieber, what do you mean? Maybe not. What do you mean? That your yes be yes, your no be no. Sometimes people give a prophecy. It's like, what? So try and bring an application or something clear. Because sometimes people get, oh, I don't know what this means, but, and then it's something confused thing. Maybe ask God before you get up, what's the application here? What's God saying? Don't just prophesy the problem. Because sometimes we all know the problem, but God brings solutions and he brings the positive through. Be humble, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Don't speak down to people. I just remember this one guy gave a prophecy once to the worship team. He got up and said, you people. And he just ran down the worship team. You know, songs are hopeless, this and that. Oh, what? But he was speaking down to the people. Come from a high place. No, be humble. Don't speak too long. Know when the anointing lifts. Sometimes people just go on and on and on and on. Like, hang on, what's the time now? Like me. No, but So the anointing lifts. God's got you to say a certain thing. And it's well received. But then you just keep going. It's like, you know, you need to know when to get off. Remember there was one time in Coastland, some guy went into a death metal thing and Rob Reeves is there, get the microphone from him. So I'm diving across the stage and grabbing the microphone. This guy's in the full death metal thing. When I look back, some of the classics. Church bloopers. Prophecy, yeah, church bloopers. Prophesy in proportion to your faith, Romans 12, 6. So you might not want to prophesy, you know, America's going to fall in 2 years or whatever. Just prophesy what God's put on your heart. prophesy in turn. The way prophecy is in the New Testament is that you prophesy one after the other. And then it's weighed up and judged. So we don't have 20 people prophesying and it's just a confusion. You often see leaders get up and say, we've had 3 prophecies and this is what God seems to be saying. Because we prophesy in turn and then there's a weighing up of, and we don't despise prophecy. We don't just say, oh yeah, that's cool, let's go on. We're actually listening and, okay, God, we don't want to despise the prophecy. Often it's good to have a prophetic book of prophecies that have been key in the church. We used to have that in Coastlands, called it Key Prophecies. I had the responsibility of putting that book together. And it's pretty hard to work out what's a key prophecy because, you know, you didn't make the cut. Your prophecy, you know, you might be in, yeah, Prophecy Volume 3. But, it's hard putting those things together. But as best we could, it was key prophecies. And we go back to them. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, war over the prophecies concerning you. We go back to the prophetic words, and God wants us to go back to them. Words spoken over our history, over our future, key prophetic words. Words over your life. You should be writing them down, getting recordings of them, and going back to them and warfaring over them. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-21, don't despise prophecy. And don't confine prophecy to the microphone. So that's about 15 handles on interpretation of prophecy. And now the last one is proclamation. VIP, vision, interpretation, proclamation. P is for proclamation. Proclamation is something that needs to be restored in the church. Joshua 1:8, the word in our mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night. We need the word in our mouth. To have a few prophetic words doesn't mean we're building up the prophetic. We need to take hold of corporate prophecy and do something with it. We need to proclaim words in agreement to what God has already said. This is how we build. God speaks living words. I was looking at John 6 today. Jesus said, "My words contain life and power." That's why when we're in a corporate prayer meeting, we shouldn't think it doesn't make any difference. Lord, Jesus' words contain life and power. We proclaim his word. That has life and power. The devil wants to dupe us in thinking it's not effective, but when we start to prophesy over our city, prophesy over our nation, prophesy over Canada, that when we hear from God and then we speak his word, that has life and power. We need to understand that. As a proclamation is a very powerful thing. It's no good just getting prophetic words. We need to proclaim them, decree them with authority. This is where it's powerful. And these words must live and resound in our corporate awareness until we see them become a wonderful reality and manifest, rather than merely captured on a video or pinned on a wall is like some entomologist butterfly collection, collecting dust. We don't despise prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Churches are called to prophesy life into dry situations. Can you see dry people, dry places? Our job is to prophesy life, speak life with humility, with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. God's had me really, challenged me really in the area of proclamation. Because where we meet as a church, we can see, literally see the skyline of our city. We're right on the edge of the city. We look out the window, there's the city. It's pretty cool. And God challenged me. We're not a big church, but God challenged me. It's not about numbers, it's about impact and influence. And I have you here on the edge of the city for you to prophesy life, proclaim life for the dry bones. And one day we'll see the value of what it was really about. But I believe God earmarks us to do that. It's so important in the life of the church to start prophesying over dry situations, over the crime rate in our city. There's been some terrible things happening in our city in the last few days while we've been away. It's been all over the world news. We need to pray into that. We need to pray into these things. We need to pray for our government. Whether you agree with the government or not, God calls us to pray for our government. We need to start praying for them, proclaiming things over our nation, decreeing things, seeing what has not become a reality of what God can do. Nothing's impossible for God. Where it's hopeless, start to see hope. Jobs, you know, we had a guy in our church who was unemployed for 18 months. And we just need to prophesy over those dry bones, prophesy over, just speak life, just pray for the guy. And he went from being unemployed to managing a huge team, and he didn't even have the qualifications. It's like God just did something. You ever been in a job where God's giving you the job that's way beyond your qualifications? It's happened to me before. And then once I get the job, I'm like, well, God, how do I do this? You know, it's way, when I was in the corporate world. And it's like we should trust God for that, for jobs beyond our qualifications, and then get God to show us, or ask God how to show us how to do it. God wants to upgrade us in all areas. He's into upgrades. He wants to upgrade in your life, and he wants for you to bring people under the umbrella of the grace that's around you. And you walk in a sphere of grace that God wants to pull people into, see them upgraded as well. All right, so we've spoken about vision, interpretation, and proclamation. And God wants us to give prophecy the VIP treatment. Just in the last couple of minutes, few minutes, prophecy can affect world affairs. And there's been times in prayer meetings where I felt that I've changed, but just through the meeting, changed the course of history. We saw that in World War II. There was known groups that were praying over certain battles and things like that that saw sudden changes in situation. I believe in this room there's potential to change world history. and change the course of nations. I'm not talking pie in the sky. I'm talking, this is real. A few years ago, I embarrassed my wife, but she got a dream. She got a dream of a terrible airline disaster. She saw a plane crashing with flames, and she was standing on an esplanade. Probably should get her to share it, but it was powerful. She was very disturbed by this dream. She's saying to me, David, I'm disturbed by this dream. I see this aeroplane crashing in a city, and I'm on this esplanade, and God's had me pray about it. So I prayed with her, but she was praying all through the day. She was burdened. She was praying all through the day about this airline disaster. Anyway, I think it was a day later or something, a couple of days later, we were looking at the news, and Sam nearly collapsed on the ground. She's looking at the news. She's going, that's the scene. That's the scene. And it was that whole situation. They did the film Sully. You know the film Sully? It was the whole American airline. It was in New York. The Hudson, the miracle on the Hudson. They call it the miracle on the Hudson. Sam saw that in a vision before it happened. And when she saw it on the news, she said, that is it. And it turned out that apparently there was people around the world at that exact time that were praying and interceding into that situation, that God had them. It's like we're watchmen on the walls. And I believe God wants to do more of that kind of thing. Change the course of history. Change world events. Change prophetic culture in a church. Vision, interpretation, proclamation. You can change the course of nations. When you start praying for these nations, Nepal, India, other nations, in these prayer meetings, it's not just words in the sky. You are changing destinies. You are changing the course of nations. It's lives, it's economies. I believe, really believe, that God has given you authority, the keys of the kingdom, to change the course of nations. So prophecy is not just some cute thing. It is powerful for taking ground and changing history. So I just wanted to, I guess, stir something tonight in the area of prophecy, just so we all know we're all candidates for the prophetic. And maybe in the coming weeks, just step out in your home group, maybe, you know, in the meetings, and just step out. But sometimes you get a prophetic word, you can write it down. It doesn't always have to be through the microphone. Had some powerful prophecies handed to me. People had them in the night or during the day. They just wrote them down. And give them to the leaders. And start to rise in the prophetic. Start to go out into the cafes, to the streets, and you get an impression for somebody. And step out and share that thing to bring prophecy to the marketplace, to a business. The prophetic breaks open doors and brings hope where there is no hope. And I just feel like God is accelerating the prophetic in the last days. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Say tonight, yes, God, I'm going to prophesy. In the last days, I'm going to rise up and prophesy life. Amen. And Lord, we just pray for Nanaimo.